All right, so it's New Moon Sabbath. We get to enjoy some guest speakers, and the first one is Michelle Lopez.
Just had the most amazing conversation with him this week, and he is so excited and without fear about what our God is doing in this world right now. Is that better? What's that? Well, oh, I just got it. Maybe later. Okay, can you hear me for the recording? All right. Well, I was asked to speak, and so I'm going to give you a few thoughts about what's going on in my mind with this Torah portion. And it was stimulated by something else, by hearing this begin as a teaching by someone else that went a completely different direction, but I kind of ran with it and took it this way. So I'm going to start out by saying that this is not representative of the Bet Leka Ministries at all. This is what's going on in Michelle Lopez's life. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've given us this time to come together and gather, and that you are faithful and you are just, and that you do rule and reign and are on the throne. Let us have ears to hear and eyes to see. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I want to start with reading a couple scriptures, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 12, really quick. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live in shalom with all people. And then down in chapter 13, has anyone heard this in their life today, lately? Let every person submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are put in place by God. So whoever opposes the authority has resisted God's direction, and those who have resisted will bring judgment on themselves. So those are Paul's writings to the Romans. And some of you may have heard those recently. And now we're going back to the Torah portion. So Shemot, names. And I'm going to start with in chapter 1, and I'm going to kind of jump across to a few little things and bring some stuff forward that God spoke to me. So as we all know, now there arose a new Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. Dun, dun, dun. So, you know, we're going to have to worry a little bit, probably, for these people. And it says that the government was afraid of Israel standing against them should they go to war and escaping the land. And you know, I submit that Egypt had become dependent on Israel. They were probably providing all their meat, all their vegetables, all their food. And Israel owned land. Remember, Joseph had arranged for everyone to trade their land back, except for the priests. But Israel also owned land. They were the landed gentry, they had a lot of power that was starting to get feared. So now I'm jumping around because I only have a little bit of time, and this is really what's on my heart, is down in verse 15. Moreover, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra and the other Puah, and said, when you help the Hebrew women during childbirth, look at the sex. If it's a son, then kill him, but if it's a daughter, she may live. So Shifra and Puah, names, since we're in names, both mean like to glimmer, to shimmer, to shine. And they also, Shifra can mean brightness or to make goodly. So they're taking a bad situation and making it goodly. And what I'm going to submit to you is that we have in one chapter, the original civil disobedient women of the world who stood up against Pharaoh. And I know this is like, oh, you know, stating the obvious, but it really struck home to me. that these midwives were ordered to murder the babies, and they didn't. And, you know, they take a lot of flack in modern teaching about lying. Oh, but they lied. They went to Pharaoh and they lied. Well, you know, they told the story from their perspective. And there's something to be said for that. But people get hung up on this lie and judging them, and they miss the bigger picture, that these women were incredibly brave civil disobedience of their time. And they took a stand for what was right. They feared God. Yep. They feared God. And then we also have Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Her name means glory of God in the traditional translations. It can mean other things as well, but traditionally it's translated glory of God. And who would have known the years when she was born? Her parents named her this prophetic name, the glory of God. And do we consider that Jochebed stood up against Pharaoh and his laws as well? She was civilly disobedient when she took Moses and put him in a basket and set him in the river, because that's not what she was supposed to do. But she did it anyway because she feared God. And we know that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the Torah is the wisdom of God. So let's enter third woman up there, Miriam. Now, Miriam's going to get a bad rap down the road because her name means rebelliously. You know, what a great name. But there's teachings that are done through the sages that Miriam may have actually been attending Pharaoh's daughter, but we don't know for real. I have a sense that she was probably, you know, more like this rebellious little, snickery little girl. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go follow that baby and see what happens, and I want to see what happens and keep an eye on things and stuff like that. And that was pretty gutsy of her to do that. And so she's hiding in the bushes. She sees Pharaoh's daughter come down and see the baby, and all of a sudden she's on the scene. Hey, you want me to go find a Hebrew woman to nurse her? I just know somebody who can do that. I mean, you have to understand, Pharaoh's daughter was from this is the daughter of the king. She is a princess. And Miriam's probably this little slave girl. And yet her rebellion, or her rebellious name, actually is more of courage and courageousness. And the word courageous means to be of steadfast mind. And she really was. She was steadfast. She hung there and kept an eye on her brother and said, I'm going to go make sure that, you know, things get taken care of as much as possible. And, you know, I have a feeling that this is this spirit that was put in Miriam, and maybe prophetically by her name, was intentionally done because down the road, she is going to be the person who continuously spurs on her hesitant brothers. When she walks out, and she is always seen there with Aaron and Moses as they're walking out, and she's going to get in trouble, and she's going to get leprosy, and she's going to have a lot of other problems. But it's that courage of her steadfast mindedness to be brave and speak her mind and step up and step forward. And it isn't always rebellion. Sometimes it's courage. And the last woman in this little section who was showed civil disobedience was Pharaoh's daughter. We don't have her real name. There are surmises of her name from other books and commentaries and movies, etc. But we know that she knew that her father had commanded her to kill these babies, that these babies must be put to death. But she didn't. And not only did she not take that baby home at that time when it was probably the most fragile, but she took it back to its mother where it could be nourished and raised until it was stable enough for her to take it into her household and have him raised up basically in the palace of Pharaoh as one of Pharaoh's children. I mean, this was an ultimate life-sparing act, but of civil disobedience. She not only disobeyed her father, but she disobeyed a decree of the land. And in those days, Pharaoh could have just said, okay, you're gone, wipe you off. But he didn't. All these women took a stand for moral, godly right and wrong in the face of social government persecution. That's something we all need to think about right now, that we have this right here. And I want to go back to Romans, and I made the mistake of taking my bookmark out, and I'm sorry. But we're going to go back one more time. to Romans chapter 12, the last verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There is a greater good than the law of the land in obeying your government. There is a greater good, and it is called the Torah and the wisdom of Yahweh, which is the fear of Yahweh. Courage is having a steadfast mind, because we do not have a mind that should be shaken, but a courageous and steadfast mind. And don't be afraid to disagree with the popular or even your family if God is prompting you to follow him and his ways. Stand up and follow. That's it. Thank you, Michelle. So at this time, I want to welcome Mr. Ken Herrera. Not Hispanic, he's Native American, but I said it like...
Of course you did. All right. Well, thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I'd like to ask that you would just get me out of the way, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I don't take any glory for anything that you do and the words that you inspired me to say today. And Lord, I just pray that each and every person here will understand how much you love them and how valuable they are to you and how you strengthen us when we're weak. And Lord, I just pray that we understand what you want us to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well anyways, I have notes from when I was kind of forced to sit at home and do nothing for a while. As you know that I had that COVID thing, so it was no fun. So, but anyways, the first thing I'd like to kind of say out loud is you know in Genesis it talks about, you know, how the Lord has basically he's made the earth and everything within it, you know, the sky, the waters, everything. But when he made Adam and Eve, he didn't create oxygen afterwards. He never did the afterthought. He thought things through and made sure that everything was complete, you know. And that's the God that we serve, a God that completes everything. What he says never comes back void, and which is, to me, which is quite an eye-opener to me, because when I was sitting there, and the most wildest thing was for me was, I was having the hardest time breathing, and it was like, I've mentioned this before to some people, it's like taking a straw and putting a pillow, somebody putting a pillow over your face and trying to breathe. It was horrible, and fear set in. It was the first time I ever had fear set in like that, because I thought so many things came to my mind, you know, things you don't normally think about. And it happened. And I thought, wow, this can't be the end. I know this isn't the end. And then as I'm listening to the television, because I play a lot of sermons or listen to a lot of the word on television while I sleep, it's kind of a reminder to me. And so at this moment, just as I was freaking out, just starting to freak out, this word came over, fear not, for to know that I'm with you. And it was just at that moment, and I thought, Lord, it's time that I just let go. Okay, so if this is it, I'm going to give it to you. And just like this wildest thing was like a warm blanket came over me of peace. And I thought, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go to sleep. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And I didn't say if tomorrow, I just said tomorrow. I woke up in the morning, and there it was. I was able to talk a little better, because at that moment, I couldn't even help get the phone to text my wife because I was sleeping in another area. And so anyways, to make a long story short, the Lord keeps his word. You know, if we don't fear, he'll basically pull you through. And a lot of times, like I said, I've got notes that I just kind of like, so many different things that I threw together, and I was like, oh, you know, Michelle, you did a wonderful job, and I love listening to you. You're a nice teacher. And, but anyways, let me go through something here. Anyways, the Lord's grace basically brought me through a lot of things. You know, I've seen a lot of death through my life. My own little brother who died in my arms at the age of 8, he was 7. I've been privileged to help people with hospice and had a lot of people who actually have passed in front of me or knew at least 10 a week that were passing. And what an eye-opener to see these kind of things and to know that, you know, you live in a world that is basically, I lived in a world that was basically, I saw the reality of what happens. You know, I've fallen off a roof, had to relearn how to read, write, speak, and walk. They said I was a lost cause. Well, when you believe in God, there's a whole different story. You know, it's about faith and moving fear out of the way. And that was one thing I learned through the process of all the things that I've gone through, you know, multiple things, was that I had to learn how to not fear, you know. And if anybody of you, any of one of you have ever been into a fight, you know, you learn basically you're in the fight or you're going to get beat up, plain and simple, you know. And Satan is our enemy. For one, he will take you out. And he's doing everything he can throughout the years to take us out. The church, you know, individuals, us, me, you know, every one of us has experienced that. We all have a testimony. And it's amazing what the Lord will do if you just trust him. You know, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to cross paths with you people because every one of you, as you welcome my wife and I here, we've seen the genuineness of you guys, you know, and that's the part that makes us love you guys even more. It shows us that the Lord does answer our prayers because we've been asking for the Lord. Put us in a place where we can actually just be part of a body, you know, that believes in you, that fears you, that loves you, that wants to do things for you. When I hear the pastor and others talk about going out there and helping other churches, basically encourage them and coming alongside them by the walks and other things that we all do or you guys are doing. Sorry, I haven't been there for a while, but, you know, I'm planning on it, you know. And so he's done a lot of wonderful things for us, you know. You know, as you look through the Bible, he's helped, you know, and you think about like Joseph, he's helped him through all his trials, you know, and then he persevered. Abraham, you got Moses, you know, when people were standing at the edge, you know, they're all freaking out. He's, you know, put out his staff, the water parted, you know, and they all went through clear, you know. And you think about how arrogant, you know, the Pharaoh must have been to think that the water was parted for him and he drowned, you know. It's mind-blowing to think of all these things that how God has done, you know, to save those who love him and those who believe in him, you know. And I'm, you know, I trust everything he says. Sometimes I'm like a little kid. I get excited about those kind of things because when you experience it yourself, you know, it's like, how can you not believe? What the heck? What kind of a knucklehead am I to not believe and understand that he values me, and not only me, but he says, now go out and teach others what I've done for you. You know, I'm no better than anybody else. Never have been. Never believed that, you know. But I always believed that that the Lord taught me to love on others. And you know, sometimes when people, especially guys, they hear me come up and I'll talk to them, they're like, well, you're kind of odd. I didn't expect that out of you. Well, you know, I am who I am, you know, and I'm not going to change. You know, I've told other people, like when you ask me to be your friend, be careful. I'm going to tell you the truth because you might not like what I have to say. So, you know, but I want to be honest because the Lord has always been honest to me, you know, and I have a few little things back here. Sorry, I'm shaky still. And it's not from fear. It's just I just shake. So anyways, just to let you know that I'm here in this church not to take a seat. You know, I want to participate. I've always been one of those kind of guys, and that, you know, I don't watch sports. I don't care for it, you know, because why watch somebody else have fun when I could be doing it myself? I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm a little different. So I just feel that there's an urgency right now, you know, not just in the church, but in our whole country, you know, in our towns. You know, there's also it's a time for us to reach out, like we talked about, and I've heard this church talk about, to go out and encourage others in other churches, you know. And how simple is it just to share the word of God just by telling them, you know, by how we act, by what we say, and then follow through with it. You know, it's part of what, you know, God has never not followed through. You know, everything that's happening in this nation right now, everybody's all freaking out. But he said, do you trust me? Do you love me? You know, do we trust what he says? You know, I mean, we can honestly say that we do, but do we really? You know? And it's our job to basically present the word to others, you know, and help them understand how important and valuable they are, you know, not just to themselves, but to the Lord, that the Lord basically has created everything for them to enjoy, for them to persevere, you know, that he values them, you know, they matter, you know, and us as a church, we're supposed to be the foot soldiers. It's not just the pastors, the teachers, and, you know, those who lead in the church, but we're also supposed to be out there and do the work as well, you know. We can't just sit back and just warm the seats. We got to get out there in the streets and do our job. You know, as we grew up, I mean, as I should say, as I grown up, I learned a lot of, you know, I don't know exactly where everything is in the Bible. I'm not great at quoting things, but I know that, for one thing, he's never lied, you know. And if people could just give me a moment, I can pull some up real quick, because hey, these phones do everything nowadays, you know. And anyways, it's time to awaken the church. It's time to back our pastors, teachers, you know, deacons, and, you know, and just, it's just time to back them. You know, we're the body. And if the body doesn't move, it dies. So the fight's real, you know. And I just can't, you know, I'm just honored to be part of this. And then we're only responsible to present the opportunity that the love that the Lord is telling us, you know. It's up to them to receive it. You can't force feed somebody who doesn't want to eat. So anyways, I'm just here to say we're supposed to prepare the way. And I thank you for this opportunity.
All right, well, thank you very much, Ken. At this time, I'd like us to welcome Pastor Curtis.
Okay. Here's my notes. Never mind. Michelle and Ken, thank you very much. I think that in our service, where we talk about our men and women after church today, thank you. I think you guys should lead that. You guys are doing a great job. Oh, before I get started, I'd like Pastor Matt and Pastor Mike and Wendy to come up for a second. And Wendy asked me to say something about the new moon for our guests. The Bible tells us to remember the new moon is every 28 and a half days. 28 and a half days. And God calls us to remember it because it's a picture it's a picture of a woman's cycle. And it correlates exactly, and it's a renewal of the marriage. And we're supposed to look at it because it's a sign of looking for the Messiah. Is that all you want me to say? Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, I forgot about this. The reason we have guest speakers like Michelle and Ken is once a month we have this new moon celebration. And we have been teaching people for years to bear witness, to be God's vocal voice on this earth, So here in church, we want you to practice. And practice makes perfect. So you've been anointed and ordained, all of you. And all of you should want this opportunity to come up here and share the Word of God, as Michelle and Ken did today. And if you do, if you'd like to, see Wendy. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to bring them up because Karen and I are going to go on a little trip, and we'll be gone till March, a month and a half or so. And I wanted you to recognize and know who to come to. If you have questions or problems, Pastor Matt is always available. Pastor Wendy is always available, and Pastor Mike. And these are your leaders. So can we give them a hand? Raise God. Because God has a calling on these people, and the calling that God puts on a person is irrevocable. And they've been called to build you up. So God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, and I believe that they're from time to time they fit. All three of these fit all five of those concepts of ministry. And the purpose is not so they can be pastors and be elevated. It's to be servants and to be humble. And it also says God gave them for one purpose and one purpose only, to equip the saints, to build up the body of Messiah. And our job is not to make you feel good or entertain you or tell stories or jokes, because our job is to get you excited about wanting to be passionate for God. And that's their job. And so I'm really proud of these three people, and I'm really happy that they're going to run this church. And I may not come back. So no, we're coming back. So thank you very much, Pastor Mike, Pastor Wendy, yeah, and Pastor Matt. So there's so much going on in the world right now. And if you listen to all of the garbage out there, which God has commanded we don't, but if you do, as you hear about it, there is a lot of fear out there. I mean, the fact that America is going to become communist, the fact that we're going to lose our banking rights, the fact that interest rates are going to go through the roof, the fact that Raul Castro is going to come over and give lessons on how to be communist. There is so much out there right now. I'm telling you these things because we are commanded to be in the world, but not of the world. And we are of the world when we pay attention to all these things, because, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Well, oh my God is right. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're called, every one of you are called to bear witness to God's glory. Every one of you are called not to be good people that go to church and tithe and don't drink and don't smoke and don't chew and don't go with girls that chew and all these good things. God has called you not to be good. He's called you to be radical. He's called you to bear witness to Him around the world, and that's why He's placed you. Every one of you have been called to be missionaries. That's why God gave you birth. He birthed you in a pagan land. He birthed you in a country that serves another god, and the other god that it serves is not who we serve. You've been called to bear witness to the God of the universe, the God of the kingdom of eternity, the God who is the only wise God, invincible, and the God who respects glory, and the God who takes you and pulls you out of the garbage and says, you're mine. Isaiah 55, I got it in my notes. I've got a whole sermon prepared. I don't know if we're going to get to it. What God says is, you are mine. You are mine. Now, we think in the past, and I believe that God is revealing new truth as we get older and time progresses. In the past, praise God, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, give God the glory. You know, but God is saying, that's not what I called you for. I didn't call you to sit on your tailgate, go to church, be good, and let your neighbors go to hell. I called you to bear witness to your neighbors. I called you to bear witness at work. Do you know everybody that has a job goes to work and expects, oh my God, I got to work, praise God. Oh, woe is me, and we work and we work, and we go, oh, I get a paycheck, praise God, I earned it. God puts you in this, in that job for one purpose, to bear witness. He puts you in that job so you could be the missionary to Fruta, to Grand Junction, to people that are lost. He has called you to be His witness, and He said, oh, by the way, I'll set it up in this world for you to be a minister to God, and I'll let you get paid. So you get to go to work, be a witness, and I mean, and say, oh, by the way, thank you very much. But the fact is, in Matthew, God says, or Jesus says, Messiah says, Yeshua says, you will never see me again until you say, blessed is he or she that comes in the name of the Lord, for then you'll see me. And I go to bear witness and be with the Father. But God has said, you'll never see. Would you look at somebody? Look at somebody behind you and next to you and say, blessed are you that comes in the name of the Lord. Now Messiah said, Messiah, you know who Messiah is? Messiah is God incarnate, God on this earth. Messiah is our Father, our God, and yet Messiah lied. No, let me finish. Because there are so many people in the world who take the word of God and say, see, I'll show you right there, a contradiction, it's a lie. Blessed are you that comes in the name of the Lord. Where's Jesus? He said, you'll not see me until you say that, and we don't see Jesus. Now, I want you to know that you've been called to be different. You've got different eyes. You're supposed to hear the voice of God. You're supposed to see the voice of God and see the Spirit of God in the world today, and we don't see Him in the trees when we go up in the aspens and they go, oh, I just love the aspen trees. I can feel God. God is not in the aspen trees. God lives in you. God says, I will put my voice in you. God will be in you. I will live in you. And I will help you to bear witness if you want to bear witness to the King of all kings. If God has put God in you, if God has put His Spirit in you. By the way, there's only one God according to the Bible. You know, if we invented this Trinity, and there's more than three concepts of God. But there's one God, and God is the Holy Spirit. God is Jesus. God is Yeshua. Yeshua is God. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God on this earth. The Bible says, Paul says, that God is a Spirit. Well, guess what? God is also holy. So is God the Holy Spirit? Duh. You know, the fact is, we need to see one another in a whole new light. Because we are so trained by the American and human culture to see the negative, to see the ugly. God has called you to see Him, to see the Spirit of God. Are we seeing God in each other? Are we hearing God's voice in each other? Are people hearing the testimony of the Word of God when you speak? When you speak, it should be the Word of God. Because you're all called to be Navi, the Hebrew word for prophets. Paul said, I'd much rather you prophesy. And that's what he's talking about. The Spirit of God is in the body of Messiah. But the body of Messiah is like that child song when I was in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Nope. This little light of mine, hide it under a bushel tree, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel tree, yes, yes, yes. And that's what we do. We hide our spirit under a bushel tree. God has called you to be the light of a dark world. And you walk into a work, you walk into a neighborhood, you walk into anybody, and it's dark. The realm of darkness lives in people. And the realm of darkness lives in you until you light your light. And say, light, light, darkness has to go. And the light that you have is the light that you should be sharing in your words, in your deeds, in everything you are, instead of, oh my God, you know what he did, you know what the pastor did, you know what the pastor's wife did, blah, blah, blah. We're so full of training to be critical. And the critical spirit is not of God. And the critical spirit is the reason why we have, oh, by the way, Pastor, I'm sorry to tell you. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you because I don't care about you. I'm just going to leave and start my own church. I can do it better than you guys. Okay, so now there's two. And guess what? That church gets up to 20, 25 people. And somebody says, I can do it better than Bob because I grew up with a song called Bob, Bob. He is a slob, slob. And I can do it better than Bob, Bob. And so we start another one. Now we have three. And then four. It's because we have a rebellious spirit. We have a spirit that says, I will not overcome and help you. I will come against you because I am Protestant. I'm a Protestant. And God has called you to learn to get along, to forgive one another. We are called to be in one accord. Messiah said, I pray, I cry, I weep that you will become one as me and the Father are one. The Spirit of God has called us to be one. So how come we're not praying for one another? How come we're not lifting each other up? I mean, we might from time to time, but whatever our body language does, it should be bearing witness to God. Because we spend way too much time not bearing witness to the Word. John says, the Word is alive. John said, the Word is our presence of God, Yahweh. The Word is alive, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there was a season He dwelt among us. But Messiah, in John 14, 12, He said, I go to be... And there's some concepts in Greek that are hard to understand. Because it's so hard to understand, they translated John 14, 12 this way. I go to be with the Father. But there are people that realize that you could possibly interpret that, I go to be the Father. Imagine how different that is. But anyway, he says, I go to be the Father, and I pray that they can be one. And we see that he also says, we will do greater works. Can you imagine Messiah, who has done all these miraculous things? He says, by the way, I'm going to be with the Father, and you will do greater works. You will do. Look at somebody and say, you. He's talking about you. I want to emphasize that point. Even in the back row, back there, way back there, with the kid here, yeah, I see you. You will do greater works. Well, not me. I'm just a regular Christian. I just go to church and be good. But God says, start believing you'll do greater works. Start believing. And the power that we have to take thoughts captive, to see God's glory, is the power of when two or three are together, there in the midst of you is God's power, His authority. It's called prayer. And the power of prayer overcomes the world. And the world needs to know one thing. There is a people that God's raising up. There's a people that believe in the authority of God. Right now, with whatever happens in politics and in the United States, it doesn't matter. Because we have prayed. We have prayed, oh, this guy better win. This guy better win. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he didn't win. And oh my gosh, what's wrong with God? Is God oblivious to what's happening in America? Yeah, he's on vacation in Mexico. That's why we're going down there. God simply says, didn't you pray for my will be done? My will be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven? Yeah, not the other way around. God is in control. And I don't know why. I can't explain it. It doesn't matter because I'm not God. What matters, though, is I'm going to praise God. I'm going to give Him glory because God's got a plan that's going to shake me out of my boots. And God's in charge, and God's glory is going to be revealed. As a matter of fact, God's glory is going to be revealed through somebody. How many people have a Bible or an iPad or an iPhone or something? Would you look up Philippians 4:8? Archie, I'm going to ask you to come up and grab the mic. And you and Michelle can read that. Hold on. Okay, come up here, please, if you want to read it. I'd rather you get a mic. There we go. Hello. Philippians 4:8.
I can do all things.
It's on.
I can do all things through Yeshua who gives me.
No. Philippians.
What I get for being all big and happy.
Okay. Leanne.
I apologize.
Lorraine's got it. She wants to read it. Give her the mic. Thank you very much. That's okay. Thank you, Leanne. By the way, most of us still love you. So, yeah, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Okay, what does yours say?
Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think about these things.
Praise God. Thank you very much. You can put that shirt. Think upon these. Some of the other translations said dwell upon these. If there's anything in this world that we're dwelling on, oh, I'm dwelling on the election. I'm dwelling on communism. I'm dwelling on negativity. I'm dwelling on the things of the world. I'm in fear. Well, no wonder you're in fear. Your God is America. Your God is this world. Your God is politics. Because what you fear is your God. And my God is there's only one God, and I fear God. I fear His presence if I'm out of line. I fear losing His presence upon my family, upon my children, upon you, upon this fellowship. If I didn't fear God, guess what? I should be walking in death. The realm of death is what the Old Testament's all about. It's what darkness is. It's what we call demons. But it's the realm of darkness that keeps us from magnifying His glory. And what God is saying is these are the things that we should be thinking about. We should be dwelling on these things. When we hear a bad report, turn it around. Begin to physically manifest His glory. Somebody come up and read Isaiah 51:16. Karen has it memorized. So whoever has it, raise your hand and walk up here and grab this mic, because I'm not going to run back there and give it to you. I used to run. Isaiah 51:16. If this was a sword drill, you guys would all be losers.
51:16. I have put my words in your mouth and
okay,
covered you.
Hold on just a second. Listen to this first part again, because God did something to you. Go ahead. What did you do?
I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand.
Oh, man.
I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people.
Amen. Somebody say, wow. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, Yvette. Give Yvette a hand. What's the first part of that scripture saying? I have put my word in your mouth. Back in Devarim, he says, I have put my word in your mouth. It's very near you. The word is not in Washington, D.C. It's not across the ocean. The word is not out there. The glory of God is not out there. The word of God, the glory of God is very near you. It's in your mouth. That's a Hebrew idiom to say it's overflowing out of the abundance of your heart. And it comes out of your mouth. And God has called you to bear witness. We are now on the verge of really beginning to see God's people be glorified. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of years left or days or months or whatever. And I'm not saying or prophesying I'm going to die tomorrow. I'm just saying I'm old. Okay? And I'm tired of this message that falls on deaf ears. I mean deaf ears. I want to preach God's glory. I want to see God's people hear and take it in and glorify God. I want to see people get up and rise up and say, Satan, come on, man, I'm ready for you. I want to go out in the world and I want to see God's glory. And I don't care about the tests that I'm going to have. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to bear witness. I'm going to bear witness to the glory of God. I'm going to bear witness to the fact that His presence is with me. It's so strong in me, it's overflowing out of my mouth. I can't help it. Okay. Thank you very much. That was very boring. All I'm saying is God's glory is there. I'm gonna glean a couple of things out of here. I don't know if this works. Am I pointing it the wrong way? It's called a green light. Oh, anyway. Okay. Yahweh said, and Messiah also quoted God, I'm the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And let me add in there, and the God of everybody that raises their hand. Praise God. He's your God too. He is God not of the dead, but of the living. The living, Hayah, or high. It doesn't mean to be alive. It means to be in Him. The life in Him. To have life, to be alive. Let me ask somebody, is there anybody in here alive?
Yes.
You know, I know you're not dead, you're walking, but I mean alive in Messiah. I be alive in Him. I mean a fire in God is burning in your heart, down in your soul, and you can't control it. And God's using you in every way possible because you get out of bed each morning and you say, praise God, use me, God, any way you can use me. I am your child. I want to walk in your spirit. I want to walk like Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6. I mean, how can I tell you? You should be writing some of these scriptures down. You should be writing them down and take them home and say, wow, man, I want to live that way. John 2:6 says, if you abide in Him, is there anybody here Christians? Anybody here Christians? There's one, there's two. Okay, that's all. We'll have an altar call later. If a person who claims to walk in His Spirit, then you should walk the way Messiah walked. Conduct your life the way Messiah conducted it. That's God's presence. I mean, when the body of Messiah, the lukewarm body, after God scrapes him up off the floor because He threw him up, if that lukewarm people that are scraped off the gutter begin to get alive in Messiah and begin to get on fire and start walking the way Messiah walked and walking with faith, the way Messiah had faith, and walking with the authority of God, then you will see the book of Revelation come alive, because the book of Revelation is not about Jesus. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ, who was, who is to come. It's a revelation of Jesus in the body, because the bride, the body of Messiah, the remnant of God, is going to be the ones who speak the word of God, who see the word of God, and the ones who are claiming God's glory, because it's the bride who says, come. The Spirit of God in the bride. The Spirit and the bride are in the world saying, come. Come. That's the altar call to the world. And the world is not going to listen except for those who have a heart for God and those who are lost and beginning to see there's something better in the world than our electoral college. There's something better in the world, and I want it. I want peace that passes all conceptions of knowledge. I want God's authority in my life and God's peace in my life, because my life is not full of peace. It's full of turmoil, anger. My younger days, I would be in Washington and I would be angry. I'd be angry about what the world is allowing to happen, the politics and the election that was. I hate to get into politics in the pulpit, and I'm not, but I'm saying I want God. I want to thank God for the peace in my heart. My wife said, "Do you want to go to Washington?" And I said, "No, God doesn't want us there." And what God's going to do is He's going to do it. It's not going to be because we're yelling in the street and protesting. It's going to be because we've got faith in God. And let me... Would somebody allow me to do this? Messiah said, "You shall love God, Yahweh, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, and all your being, with all your mind." And we say, "I'm sorry, God. I love my doctrine more than I love God. I'm not preaching a message of compromise. I'm simply saying everything about our doctrine is how we believe. It's our belief system." Well, our belief system is also our body order, because some of us believe some things that are not right. But the fact is, I don't care what we believe. I want to see God's presence in us, because we love God more than we love anything else. If I love God with all my heart, I'm going to love my neighbor as I love God. I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself, because the Spirit of God is overcoming the fact that you and I disagree on doctrine. Who cares? Do you care that I believe in once saved, always saved? I may be wrong, I may be right. I don't care. The point is, do you believe that it's okay if I believe in tongues? It doesn't matter. Do you believe in second coming or third coming? I mean, the fact is, all of these things are a belief system on a foundation, and my foundation says, I love God more than I love anything else. I love Him so much. I love God so much with all my heart that it's overflowing and I can love you. Somebody say, maybe not. No, say, thank you. So we see the first is the same. And we have been exchanging emotional experiences, religious, fear, circumstances, to overtake the Word of God that's in us. And the one thing I want to point out is that we must know and recognize His voice. Are people hearing God's voice, truth in your voice? Are they hearing God's voice in yours? Anyway. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it. He didn't create it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And I am Yahweh, I, and there is no one else." So we all know God formed the earth. But let me take you to the word earth. It's the word eretz, and it's the earth, the whole earth, but it's also, number three, the inhabitants of God. God created eretz. He created you. What for? To be inhabited, so that He could dwell in you. He could have a place, a dwelling place. God created you. Look at somebody next to you and say, God created you to inhabit you. Yes. I'd like to go one more slide there, but somebody keeps going back. Okay. I want you to see that there is a physical Israel. We're not born in Israel. We're not physically Jews or Israelites, but we are grafted into the spiritual Israel. And it's interesting to know, but Israel shall be saved. And that word is Yeshua, which is another word for Messiah, Yeshua. and we're saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. Most of you may not know what the word teshuvah means. Teshuvah means, is translated usually as repentance. It leads to salvation. And teshuvah means to turn and go the other way. It's 180 degrees. I'm walking in sin. God restores his spirit in me, and I recognize it. I see it as sin, and I turn, and I walk away. I'm not talking about, you know, the big sins. I'm talking about the little ones that we often ignore. And yet God wants to reveal areas of our life. God says in the last days, my priests are going to teach the difference between holy and common. Holy and common. What's holy is holy, kadosh, set apart. But everything else in the world is called common. And we need to recognize it. And how many ate breakfast this morning? Oh, you were in common. You acted like a human. See, common is not a sin. We just need to recognize what common is and realize there is kadosh, there's holy, and then there's everything else. And so let me just skip through a few things. Can you advance me? Because this thing's going backwards. However, it is not though the word of God failed. This is where Paul talks about being Israel, but he's also saying it's not replacement theology. And this is 1 John 2:6, which we covered already, and Isaiah 28:8. This is one of the most insulting scriptures you're going to find in the word of God. For all their tables shall be covered with vomit, no place without filth. Whom would he teach knowledge? Who does God teach knowledge to? And whom would he make to understand the message? Who understands the message of God? Those that are weaned from milk and those that are taken off of the breast. And Paul does a whole illustration about being weaned. And the fact is, God wants us weaned. He wants us to be so excited about the Word of God that we're weaned from the milk. And you know, do you need another altar call? Does somebody here need to be saved? No, let's move on. Let's move on to a bigger depth. Let's look at how God is going to move in the world. Anyway. Click. There we go. Oh, went to. But now, thus. Oh, okay. But, oh. I don't know. And now thus saith Yahweh, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Say this with me. You are mine. He says, you are his. You are mine. You are not of this world. You're in the world. But I have born you again into the spiritual kingdom of God. And I have redeemed you. I have paid the price. I paid the ultimate price. It's called death. And I've given you life. I've chosen you to be alive. And now you're mine. And I'm telling you now, we need to start prophesying that. You need to prophesy, we are and we will be redeemed. You need to speak that to one another. You need to remind yourself and remind your wife, remind your husband, we are redeemed. Oh, things are going bad. I don't care. We are redeemed. You've been chosen. Somebody say, praise God. Hallelujah. Be assured then that those who live by trusting and being faithful, who are really the children of Israel, they're God's people. They're the ones that are the spiritual Israel. The word of God, Torah, doesn't mean law. It means teaching and instruction, is prophecy. And it prophesies that the Spirit of God is going to rise up in God's people. God's people are going to be alive and make known his power, the power of Yahweh. Praise God. What that says is you are going to reveal God's glory. You are going to reveal God's power. You are the body of Messiah. It's not Messiah. He's not walking on this earth. He's not going to come back and say, let me hold your hand. He says, In spirit, I am with you. I am always with you. I am with you so much that I am going to be in front of you. I'm going to be behind you. And I'm going to even be in you and out of your mouth. You don't have to worry about what to say. Out of your mouth will flow rivers of living water. Anyway. Blessed is he. Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai. Don't stay in the milk. Look at somebody and say, don't stay in the milk. And become like babes. Yearn and desire the meat. Yearn and desire the meat. And I'm sorry, second coming is not meat. But walking as he walked and learning to overcome is meat. Overcoming. Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3 speaks to seven churches. And it's to he who overcomes. Praise God. Amen. The reason I spoke today is because I want our people to really walk in merit. I want all of you to walk in blessings. And every time you criticize, every time you gossip or hear gossip or speak it, every time you're not walking in encouragement, you are cursing your family and your children and your children's children. It's called your generations. And you need to know that your generations are God's, period. I don't care what kind of sin they're walking in. And I've got peace over my family. And people think it's really nice, but it doesn't matter where my kids live. My son lives far away. He and I talk all the time. And I'd like him to move out here, but you know what? God says he's in his hands. And I've got peace over that. Any other comments? Anything? Okay. Well, if there are no comments, I want to thank Michelle and Ken. Great, great stuff today. And I'd like to see more people speak. And next month. Okay, Donna. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Thank you, Father God, for you are awesome. You're good. You are so good. Praise your name. When you said you would inhabit the praises of our people, help us to praise you more. Help us to have more of you in our spirits, more power, more love, more of you in our life. Praise God. And help us to dwell upon these things. Help us to dwell upon the things of righteousness. Help us to be hungry. Help us to yearn for your righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for your presence, your righteousness. May God's glory be with each person here today. May God's presence go with everybody. May God's critical spirit be killed by the Spirit of God. So it's not God, our critical spirit, excuse me. Let God touch one another. Greet some new people and give them the love of Messiah and be with our meal today and our other class. And we bless you, Father, for our meal. We bless you, Baruch Atah Yahweh. So we praise your name. Somebody give God some glory and then go greet two or three people. Praise God. You want to talk?